Our first guest has joined us tonight, and Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you, and we're going to, you know, speak to him for a few minutes. We're very appreciative of him sharing a few minutes with us, a guy that I got to witness play as well. He was a great basketball player here in the city, playing at Roman Catholic, at LaSalle University, and now the assistant coach at LaSalle University. And I had a chance to play in a charity game with him a few years back, and we became cool from that. And I wanted to reach out because I remember the battle that he and Kobe Bryant had some years ago. And joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, that would be the great Donnie Carr. Donnie, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, man. An honor to be on the show, man. Thanks for having me.
Always, man. Appreciate it. Donnie, I wanted to reach out because we know how close you and Kobe Bryant were. So just wanted to get your thoughts on everything once you had the first heard the news.
Honestly, I was just devastated, man, and in a state of shock, pretty much like everybody else. Just thought it was false news, just didn't want to believe it, and just was deeply saddened about the news, man, and just thinking about, you know, his family, you know what I mean, who, you know, I got a chance to know Kobe and his family once they came back from Italy in 1992, so... You know, I knew his dad, Joe Bryant, who actually was an assistant coach at LaSalle and recruited me hard to come to LaSalle and was one of the main reasons why I went to LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
Developed a great relationship with his dad, knew his mom, Pam, his sister, Sharia, Shea, his first cousin, John. I was just, you know, really, really devastated and just thinking of his family and all the other victims and their families, man. It's just truly a tragedy and just a sad day. So it was just like, you know, it stopped me in my tracks. I just, you know, I just was like shocked and numb and just in disbelief.
And can you take us back to, you know, when you did first see, they came back in 92, and who was Kobe Bryant when they returned from Italy in 92 as a basketball player?
Back then, I just thought Kobe was a bunch of hype, just because he was Joe Bryant's son. He was a really skinny kid, about 6'3", 6'4" at the time, that, you know, walked around with knee pads and elbow pads, and I was just like, you know, he's okay, but I don't see what all the hype was. To 2 years later, when he was, you know, entering his 11th grade year, being in all of them, and just saying, like, wow, did you see what that kid just did? You know, so, and just, you know, like I said, back then, Kobe was pretty much the same person he was in terms of his mentality. You know, he was uniquely different than all of the rest of us, who was just wanting to be teenagers and wanting to enjoy life. Kobe always had goals and aspirations of being the best player he could possibly be and the best player in the world. And he would do things that, you know, that we weren't even thinking about. And, you know, he just became a master at all his skills and gifts from God.
Donnie, as you watched his evolution, obviously you've seen a ton of players over the course of your time around the game. What was it about Kobe's development or mindset or whatever it was that set him apart from everybody else?
Well, I think that Kobe Bryant was the perfect basketball player. And the reason why I say that is because if you were trying to diagram the perfect basketball player, I mean, what would you want him to be? You would want him to have a basketball IQ. I think, you know, just growing up in the game of basketball, being around a professional player like his dad, who was an unbelievable talent, Kobe's basketball IQ was unmatched. If you look at his work ethic, you know, and will to be great, the best I've ever seen, unmatched. When you look at, you know, his heart, And his toughness, I mean, his mental toughness and his heart, unmatched. If you look at his talent level, his gifts from God, one of the best I've ever seen, unmatched. His skill set, unmatched. And his will to win and be great, coupled with his intangibles, I mean, what in a basketball player. He was the perfect basketball player. And I think that it's a rare combination. You see guys with, you know, great athleticism that just don't have the skill set or just the heart or toughness or the work ethic. I just think he had the rare combination of all of those things coupled in one, and that's why he's arguably one of the five greatest basketball players of all time.
Donnie Carr joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you. And Don, you just mentioned all that great stuff about Kobe, and you know the stories where you would hear Kobe's not from Philly, he's from the suburbs. As you pointed out, when he came back, you just thought it might have been hype at the very beginning. How much of it did he try to make sure he proved to other people that he did belong, and how was he accepted in the Philadelphia basketball community?
Well, that's just a bunch of crap. I mean, honestly, like, yeah. You know, his dad was from West Philly. You know, his whole family was, you know, throughout Philadelphia. They were all from Philadelphia. You know, his dad made it to the NBA, and he went and moved, you know, had to move to Europe because that's who was paying him. You know, that's what was paying the bills. So, mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, Kobe played in the Sunny Hill League. He was always in Philly competing. His family was from Philly. And he was from Philadelphia. I mean, that's just nonsense. But I think that the thing about Kobe, you know, just knowing him, I didn't know the Black Mamba. You know, once Kobe became a basketball icon and one of the greatest player in the world, you know, he and I didn't talk much, but I knew Kobe being Bryant. You know, we would hang out at the Sunny Hill League. We would go eat. You know, he would call me on the phone, like 4th of July. We would meet up, hang out, you know, throughout our high school years. And I think that the thing that, you know, separated Kobe was that he always set challenges for himself. He was never content with, you know, like I remember, you know, us walking into the NBA camp, the first year of the NBA camp. At the time, he was the number three player in the country. And Tim Thomas was number one, and Lester Earl was number two. And they gave us all fans and pizza, and there was no TVs in the room because they wanted us to, you know, befriend each other and you know, meet and network and become friends. And Kobe walked in with me. He hugged me. He said, yo, man, you know, we both from Philly. You know, you my guy. I just don't want you to feel no type of way, but I'm not coming out of my room. I'm not coming out of my room until it's time to play. And I didn't know what he was doing in the room. I didn't know he was in there doing push-ups, sit-ups, meditating, whatever he was doing. But he said, I'm leaving this camp the number one player in the country because no one in the country is better than me, and I'm approving this camp. And that's what he said to me. And, you know, he didn't come out of his room until it was time to play. And his team won a championship. He won MVP, and he left NBA camp as the number one player in the country. Yeah. And that was Kobe Bryant.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And let's go back to this one too, Don. The memory of you and Kobe going head to head in 96.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about that game, you know, he and I had classic battles. You know, when he first moved back from Italy, and we were entering ninth grade, I was the number two players, Southeastern Pennsylvania in hoop school. He was number one. So that was where the rivalry started. He was number one, I was number two. And I just was looking like, what makes him better than me? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, at that time, again, he was tall, lanky. And he, you know, in basketball, the low man wins, you know. And I would always, in our younger years, I would get underneath him and dictate his movements and kind of like was able to defend him pretty good in ninth grade, you know, in the 10th grade. But you know, his dad, you know, who was an NBA player, had great information. He was working out with personal trainers. So part of the reason why I was able to play against Kobe, because in my heart of hearts, I didn't think he was better than me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had a classic duel before that game. Roman Catholic played in the Plymouth Whitemar Summer League along with Chester, along with Lower Marion and Plymouth Whitemar and Cheltenham and a couple other suburban schools. So we would play Lower Marion a couple times a year in the Summer League. So the game that everybody missed, but all the colleges saw, was at Plymouth Whitemar, where Kobe had just became the number one player in the country. And, you know, that my junior year, we were top 10 in the country. We had Larry Kettner. Mm. We had Arthur Yod Davis. We had a young Rasul Butler. We had myself. Long story short, we had 8 Division I players on the same team. But, you know, we had finished that year. So coming back into the following year, we were projected to be the number 2 team in the country. So Arthur Davis was another top 40 player in the country along with myself. So we were on the same team. So Kobe knew that we were about to play, and he was number 1 in the country. So back then, you know, before AAU became what AAU was now today, all colleges came to high school games, you know, into the Sunny Hill League. So back then, Coach K wanted Kobe. Rick Pitino was on him. He was at Kentucky. Coach K at Duke. Bobby Knight, Steve Fisher, all these people, the who's who of college basketball, was coming to the Summer League game. At the time, I didn't know. So Kobe called me. I'm on the phone. Back then, you didn't have caller ID. So I'm on the phone with my high school sweetheart, and, you know, the other line rings. So, I click over, and it's like, yo, what's up, man? What's up, Don? I'm like, I'm good, man. I'm chilling. Who's this? He's like, yo, it's Bean, man. It's Cole, man. What's up? Oh, nothing, Bean. I'm just chilling, man, on the line talking to my girl. Oh, man, I'm just chilling out, man. Yo, I got a quick question for you. Is Arthur Yod Davis going to be at the game tomorrow? Now, mind you, Arthur Davis and Ronnie Conway was transferring to Frankfurt, but it hadn't been confirmed. So he wanted to know if Yod was coming. So immediately I knew he was fishing. So I'm like, I don't know. Wow, what's up? And Kobe, being vintage Kobe, because part of Kobe's thing was he knew no one was working harder than him. So he wanted to intimidate people before he even played against him. So, you know, it was going to be a big game for me because I was trying to prove myself as, you know, being, you know, one of the elite, you know, players in high school basketball at the time. Mm-hmm. And he had already solidified that for himself. So he was like, you know, is Yod coming? I said, I don't know. He said, you know, because, you know, if Yod comes and it's you and Yod, then, you know, we can get it on. You know what I'm saying? You know, you two guys and it'd be me, then we'll probably get it on. But if it's just you, I don't even know if it's worth me coming to the game. You know what I'm saying? So I double take at the phone and I just immediately slam the phone. Pretty much, he's going to destroy me if my friend, my best friend and running mate isn't at the game. She's like, calm down. I said, nah, man. I said, nah, man. Yeah. You know, I can't wait till tomorrow. But in his mind, he wanted to intimidate me.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And at that game, long story short, first half of that game, I had 25. And I had told my assistant coach, who was our coach, our head coach, Dennis Sutton, who's a legendary coach in Philly and in Philly basketball history. He didn't coach us in the summer league. Our assistant coach, Jeff Stepp, coached us. So I had told Coach Stepp about the conversation Kobe and I had. So he's like, you know what, Donnie? I want you to guard Kobe because I know he's going to guard you because he's always creating challenges. He's going to guard you. I want you to guard him. I want you guys to go head-to-head because I want to show all these people that you're just as good as him. So in that game, I had 25 in the first half. He had 4.
Mm.
He had 32 in the second half, and I had 4. So he finished with 36 points, like 12 rebounds and 8 assists, and I finished with 29, 9, and 9. But in my opinion, that was even better than the game at Drexel. But, you know, they had beat us by one. I fell to the floor, you know, distraught, like just, you know, in disbelief. Like, how did we lose that game? He came over to me, hugged me. Yo, man, it's just a basketball game. Don't worry about it, man. You know, I love competing against you. You bring the best out of me, man. You know we'll see each other again.
Yeah, that's great, man.
So, if John Lucas was the head coach at the Sixers, Kobe would work out with the Sixers.
Yep.
So that game in 95, December 95, Roman against Lord Marion, that was for all the marbles because, you know, that was, you know, all, going on record. And, you know, Roman had a great tradition, the best tradition in the state, in my opinion. And it was all about winning championships for us. So I just remember that game just wanting to win. Like, I want to win this game. And not only do I want to win, I want to prove to people that I'm just as good, if not better than Kobe. And I want to play good. But I just remember having so much nervous energy because – you know, I knew Kobe. I knew he was going to bring his A game, and I just didn't want to be embarrassed by him. Like, where he comes out and dropped 40. Because people think, you know, the Black Mamba. Kobe was the Black Mamba in high school. He just hadn't mastered it yet.
Right.
You know, that guy would give you 50 in high school. You know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, I was just, you know, had so much nervous energy going into that game, and just remember wanting to do well. And, you know, I remember missing my first four shots, you know, in that game. And then, you know, hitting my first shot and, you know, settling down. And, you know, the rest is history, man.
Yeah. But it was a great one.
Yeah. I was just blessed to be a small part of his legacy, man. And, you know, again, man, he was an unbelievable basketball player, but, you know, a great person, a great man. He was a born leader, a born motivator, and a guy that inspired millions, man. And it's truly a sad day, man.
And even with that, I have to ask you before we let you go, because you mentioned it and you said the sad day 2 years ago, almost to the date, your other very, very close friend Rasul Butler. And, you know, just tough and ironic how close, you know, the dates are.
Yeah, man. It's like, Kobe's a basketball icon. And again, I didn't know the Black Mamba, but I knew Kobe being Bryant. But Rasul was my brother. We always used to say, brother from another. You know, that's what we called each other. Like, Rasul had three sisters. And he didn't have a brother, so I was always the brother that he never had. And, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, the thing that I would say those guys had in common was work ethic. You know, Rasul was, you know, the consummate pro, wasn't an NBA All-Star or, you know, a Hall of Famer. But if you had a Hall of Fame for work ethic, Rasul would have made it. You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about a guy that was in the NBA for, you know, 10 years and then got cut and then, you know, had the humility to go and play in the NBA Summer League, which was unheard of, and go to the G League, which was unheard of for a 10-year NBA veteran, and somehow willed his way, which don't happen because the NBA is a game of numbers. There's only 450 to 75 jobs in the NBA. So, you know, it's always guys behind you. So for him to get cut and be out of the league for a year and a half and then, you know, will his way back into the league just from pure work ethic and humility, being humble and hungry, was an amazing feat for Rasul, man. But, you know, it's just tragic how, you know, we keep losing, you know, Philadelphia legends and icons. You know, tragically, like Rasul died in a tragic accident with his girlfriend 2 years ago, which was, you know, on January 31st, 2018. And then Kobe died on January 26th in a tragic accident. And it's just amazing, man. Yeah. It's truly, and you know, Eddie Griffin, another legend, died in a tragic car accident. Hank Gathers died tragically. You know, Wilt Chamberlain died tragically, another Philadelphia icon. And it's just like we're losing guys that have so much to give, you know, to the next generation of, you know, basketball players and people. And it's just truly, it's just truly sad, man. And, you know.
Well, listen, man, we thank you for taking some time out of, you know, a tough time for you. We really appreciate you sharing those memories, man. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. And just want to say, man, my heart goes out to all their families. And I'll just continue to pray for those guys. But thanks for having me. It was a pleasure and an honor.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it as always, man. Thanks, Don.
All right, you got it.
Donnie Carr joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.